Now, back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
So I don't really know how Siri works. When you have it in your phone, right? It can help you at times. Mine will pop up unannounced. And I was sitting at Fox 2 last night, and we were talking about the highlights and what was going next. And I said, well, at that point, we got to show Mizzou. That's all I said was, got to show Mizzou. And Siri, I'll show you my phone.
Do you want to go to the zoo?
It said, calling Big Al. And I... I swear to you. And I looked down. I'm going to show you my phone log from last night. And I immediately, of course, hung up. No offense. No offense to Big Al. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Hold on. There it is.
Efforting.
See that?
Do you ever actually use Siri? So it was an accident, right?
No, I've never popped up. I'm sure my wife has used my phone to use Siri. Like we're driving around because I don't know how to even get into that.
I don't know how either.
It popped up. But all we were saying was, yeah, I got to show some Mizzou. And it just says, calling Big Al. And I looked down in a moment of horror. Of course, I'd be happy to talk to Al. It's not the point, of course. But how did that lead to that is my concern.
I don't do any of that stuff. I'm old school, man. I don't want to talk to my phone. It'll take a couple seconds to just type it into Google. I like doing things the way we did it for years and years and years. Too much technology. It's not a good thing.
4 a.m. on a Saturday, I'm like, hey, call Marlo. Calling Mosellock. No. What are you doing?
Mo. Anything cooking?
A little late to be calling, or is it early to be calling? Haven't signed anybody. What's the deal? Wouldn't that just freak you out? Claves told that story. He did a butt dial on Gary Pinkel at like 2 in the morning one time. And he was like, I said, so was he nice? He goes, well, I don't know. I hung up.
Yo, Kat,
of course, is the move.
Kat's not going to be mad about me telling this story real quick, but I think he accidentally either called or texted Joe Thurston once, the former Cardinal who played here for about a year. And then Joe was like, hey, what's up, man? And then Kat had to pretend that he was doing it on purpose to be nice because he had accidentally called him.
Hey, we're going to have you on the pregame in probably about a month from now. If you're still here, we'll work that out. All right, let's take you live to Buffalo, where I think they're still partying, Chuck.
They should be.
They've got shovels in one hand, 12-pack in the other. And to talk more about the Bills' miraculous entry into the NFL postseason, Charlie Parker, but you know what? We simply call him the Bulldog. From 550, the big 550 up there, WGR. Charlie, welcome. How are you?
It's nice to be on with you guys. How's things going?
We're doing well, and we love the nickname the Bulldog. And I said, I got to know. Did you call yourself the Bulldog, or did you acquire that along the way?
No, man, they slapped it on me. There's nothing lamer than coming up with your own nickname.
Correct.
So when I was fresh out of college, they told me we're going to give you a nighttime show. This is like 23 years ago now. But we need you to come up with a nickname. And I was like, I don't think you can do that. So I just was at their mercy. So they went ahead and went with that, and I said, okay, whatever. I'm in no position to argue. You're going to pay me to talk on the radio? I'm good. Fine. Call me whatever you want.
All right, so take us back to Sunday, and just for the whole region, how that kind of played out. We saw videos online, not only the team celebrating, but was all of Buffalo finding a way to tune into that Bengals game?
Luckily, the way the timing of the games worked out, the Bills game ended – and it was tracking that way all afternoon. That Bengal-Raven game was about 8 or 9 minutes of clock time behind the Bills game all day. So once it got, into the fourth quarter, it was just starting the fourth quarter, the Bills game had about 6 minutes left, and it was pretty apparent we were going to have an opportunity to see how that was going to turn out. And so they switched over to it once the Bills, knelt down and got that thing to the garage. So I think really everybody got to watch it. It was funny. I do the post game on the Bills radio network, and so our show started, and so I was on the air and trying not to just do play by play off of the CB he has television feed. That's, you know, just kind of frowned upon. I think that's what that whole, like, unlawful reproduction or something disclaimer is all about. So, you know, but come on. Anybody who's tuned into our post-game show needs to know what's happening in that game. So that was I didn't get to enjoy it as much as I think most people did, but I think most people found their way to it. What's funny about the way the afternoon unfolded is the Bills game was pretty much in hand right from the start. So from about halftime on, I was mostly watching the Bengals-Ravens game and riding that ride. And thankfully, nothing happened in the Bills game that needed to be explained on the post-game show in the second half because I really didn't watch it.
Hey, Bulldog, what about that 3rd and 20 play? Like, yeah, hey, we're in the playoffs, dumbass. Who cares?
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all good, right? I mean, they're in. That's all that really matters. It's been, you know, it's been a long time coming. Obviously, you guys, I'm sure, know, 17 years. This would have been the 18th season of the drought, and there is very much amongst, you know, I'm 52 years old, so I was in my prime going through the Super Bowl years, so I know there are, you know, better things out there than a 6 seed in a weak AFC. But people who are, you know, half my age have never seen this. They've never lived through it. Our producer is 25 years old, and he, like, you know, his first memory might be home run throwback. So it's been a pretty cool time, and people aren't really yet all that hung up on what's going to happen Sunday. I think very much the fan base, anyway, embodies a happy-to-be-there type of mentality right now.
So, Bulldog, speaking of the fan base, we all know about hashtag Bills Mafia and all the crazy tailgating with breaking the tables and lighting themselves on fire sometimes, just having a good time there. What's the best celebration story or piece of video you've seen? We saw the Bills players in the locker room celebrating. We saw some fans watching on TV. I'm sure there's a lot of kind of social media moments out there.
Yeah. I mean, I even got sent some people who were listening to me to the post-game show watching that Bengals game, and that was kind of cool and, you know, weirdly flattering. I got to say, really, that there's two things that I would say are maybe tied, and certainly the locker room stuff. Kyle Williams being front and center with that. I mean, he's been here through it all. I mean, not the entirety of the draft, but still, he's the longest tenured Bill, 12 seasons in. And seeing him react with his kids, his two young boys in the locker room, and like his emotions are hard to not react to. So like there's that. And then I was really impressed. Our sideline reporter and Bills beat reporter Sal Capaccio shot a video getting off of the plane. So this is New Year's Eve, 1 a.m. It's about 1 degree out. And there's about 2,000 people who show up to greet the Bills. And watching that video that Sal shot and others from that scene, you know, seeing all those fans, seeing the players react to those fans was really, really cool. And, you know, it's just a kind of scene we've not had here in a long time. I mean, with the football team, obviously, I just told you how long that's been. Your pro sports team here is the Sabres, and they haven't been to the playoffs since 2011. They've been in last place like 3 out of the last 5 years, a couple of them kind of on purpose to try to draft high and get Jack Eichel. We haven't had a lot of good times here, so it's pretty cool. Like I just saw another new, it's like a produced video from NFL Films about the 4th and 12 play with the Bengals and the Ravens, and the Bills players reacting to that. I'm still soaking all that stuff up, and usually, you know, by Thursday, you know, you're thinking about the next game, but we're still sort of living in the fact that the drought's over and the players. I think what's important to point out, I mean, the separation between the player and the fan is probably, you know, it's probably never been larger. You know, just the belief that some fans can have. Usually when people bitch and moan about players, one of the first things that they reference, I think you heard this during the anthem protest. You know, they make so much money. They make so much money. To see them celebrating and reacting in a similar fashion to the fans, I think brought the team closer. closer to the fans than maybe they have been in a long time.
Chris Parker, the Bulldog, WGR, 550 AM in Buffalo. The Bills still riding high, getting in. Andy Dalton, the touchdown, and we've talked about it, how his foundation is now benefiting with a lot of donations, and he's saying thank you to the Bills and their fans. How popular is Andy Dalton in Buffalo these days?
Andy Dalton is maybe the most popular football player in town. outside of Kyle Williams. It's funny, we on our show yesterday, we talked about how odd it is that really it doesn't seem like Tyrod Taylor is getting any credit for being the quarterback of the team that has ended a 17-year playoff drought. Everybody's just on and on about Andy Dalton. You know, surely if Taylor had completed a 4th-and-12 touchdown to put the Bills in the playoffs, I think it would be different. You know, the way that game in Miami played out, you know, he made a couple of plays early and they just sort of switched it to glide and coasted home. But yeah, Dalton is, Dalton's status here has elevated considerably.
And Bulldog, you got the Jacksonville Jaguars. Certainly they're, you know, higher seeded. They're the home team, but it's not exactly like you're facing New England in round one. I mean, it's arguably a winnable game.
You know, I think the reputation of the franchise leads you there, but, you know, they're a 9-point favorite for a reason. You know, I mean, they have a dominant defense, and the Bills have got a real, real tough time moving the ball, and their number one offensive player, they got DeSean McCoy, accounts for like over 30% of their offense. He's hurt, and we don't know. If I had to say right now, I would bet he plays or tries to play, but I can't believe he's going to be super effective. So I think it's a challenge. I think, you know, you think Jaguars, you think like, oh, well, you know, who are they? But I think they're pretty good. It's definitely not New England, that's right. I mean, New England, I think you'd be just kind of writing this thing off completely. You know, I think they've got like a, you know, like a 1 in 5 chance to pull an upset there. But I think they're in tough with this.
One of our hosts had Marv Levy on, who, by the way, remarkably sharp, 92 years old, and he was talking about the run. Super Bowl run back in the day and all the great players, great names, Hall of Famers. I'm wondering, people of your age, how you look back at that period. Is it, we're cursed, we're jinxed? Because the more you think about it, it is remarkable to get to the Super Bowl 4 straight years, of course, losing all 4, but to get there. How do people view that now, some 20-plus years later? Is it a curse, a jinx, or are the memories fonder now?
I think that the memories are definitely fond. I have always felt that time would treat those teams kindly, you know, from a national perspective. I mean, obviously you need to win a championship to be, you know, elevated to that super lofty all-time great team status. But I think when football fans now look back at a team that went to 4 straight Super Bowls, I think you can appreciate just because how rare it is that a team even goes to 2 in a row. You know, New England's pulled it off a couple of times here. But I think, you know, locally, you know, it's the most fun we've ever had. You know? So it's hard to be bummed out about it. I think there's more a fondness. A lot of those players, a lot of the key players on those teams are prominent here in the community, either working with the Bills or just involved in business and charitable foundations and whatnot. Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Steve Tasker are here. I mean, they are around. And then the other players, other Hall of Famers from those teams are back in town a few times a year, Bruce Smith, Andre Reed. So the pull of those guys and the emotions felt towards those guys are and those teams are nothing but warm.
And how many feet is snow on the ground right now?
Not that bad, man. Like the city, I live in the city itself. Our studios are in Amherst, which is north, kind of like opposite of where the stadium is from the city. So like about 15, 20 minutes north is where our studios are. South of the city is the traditional snow belt region that gets those lake effect snows and all that. And they got smoked in the last couple of weeks. Like there's feet of snow on the ground about 30 or 40 miles south of Buffalo. But the city itself, like my house, I've got 3-4 inches. It hasn't been bad. It's been cold, like crazy bitter cold, like 1 degree tomorrow is the high cold. But we don't have that much snow here. We're not getting this, what are they calling it?
Cyclone, the bomb cyclone.
Yeah.
Cyclone Bob. You know, we're not getting that. that's well east of us. So like we're doing all right. But as I'm sitting here talking to you in my truck, it is lightly snowing.
Well, Bulldog, good luck to the Bills. I think there's a little bit of Buffalo in all of us. When that happened on Sunday, people that, like in St. Louis, we were bitter. We hate the NFL, but that was fun for a lot of us. We've all got friends from that area. And, you know, we like Buffalo chicken wings and we like snow. So God bless the Bills and good to talk to you, Bulldog.
I appreciate that. And let me tell you this, for all the years we spent here worrying about the Bills being ripped away from us until Terry Pegula and his wife Kim stepped in and bought the team. And really, for all intents and purposes, guaranteed their long-term future in this community. We were feeling you, man. I hate the NFL. I'm mad at the NFL for what they did to you guys, you know, twice. And you know, same with what's going on with the Chargers. It's, you know, it's gross.
Bulldog, good to talk to you.
All right, man.
There he is, Chris Parker. And he answered the question early on that he was named the Bulldog by somebody else. Because, like he said, that's lame. Like Charlie says, I want people to call me the White Rascal. I want people to call me the Badger.
I never said that. But Charlie is such a great name. I wanted to say, from one Charlie to another, there's not that many Charlies out there anymore. So you gotta be called Charlie so we can have some more people down the road named Charlie again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's right, though. NFL, it's fun to see new teams make the postseason. And that's why, if you're a Bills fan, you haven't been there forever, you see a team like the Titans, the Jaguars, they're not a name team, and even the Rams. If you're not in St. Louis, where we hate the Rams, probably everywhere else in the country thinks it's pretty cool to see a Rams team make the postseason for the first time in how long? 13 years, 12 years, whatever it is?
Well, that's the thing I was going to ask you, and this is really stupid and painful, but I kept thinking Buffalo's drought was 18 years. It's been 18 years since they were in the playoffs, that Music City Miracle. Oh, that's what I wanted to ask him about. I asked him like 1,000 things. I forgot. The Music City Miracle, Jeff Fisher, one of his shining moments. People in Buffalo are like, dude, that was an illegal play.
No, I called the league and it wasn't
Roger
illegal.
Roger said it was fine. Well, Roger
it actually wasn't Roger. It was Paul. It was Paul Tagliabue.
Should we blame Buffalo then for the Rams relocating? Because if that doesn't happen, Fisher probably doesn't get hired by the Rams after getting fired by Tennessee.
Butterfly effect.
Wow. Yeah, because you're not going to hire a guy who's never made it to a Super Bowl and has been typically, at that point, had he lost that game, but an early postseason knockout coach.
And Wade Phillips was the Bills coach who got beat by Jeff Fisher and is now the defensive coach with the L.A. Rams and has them up and running.
Think of the totally different shows we'd be having today if the Music City Miracle doesn't happen. We'd be getting psyched for the Edward Jones Dome hosting the Rams-Falcons on Saturday night.
I'd be named Bulldog.
Right. Charlie Bulldog Marlowe.
You'd be wearing a golf jersey in studio, counting down to the big game.
Girly, rocking like some shoulder pads with some spikes on them.
We'd be going through former Rams to have on, although some we couldn't due to certain recent issues. But
wow, that was pretty specific.
Yeah. It is sad, though, to think that this could be a time, because it's relatively slow in the sports world. I know we have some good college basketball, but right now we could have awesome NFL playoff experience going here in St. Louis. It makes you sad to think about.
No Packers, no Seahawks, no Cowboys, to your point. There are a lot of fresh teams. The Buffalo thing was just kind of fun. I mean, those fans go sit in the cold-ass seats and watch that team, and they've been bad for a while. I guess Rex Ryan had a 9-7 year. That Doug Marrone had a 9-7, had a bunch of 9-7s in there. I'm not sure why Wade Phillips left. He had, like, really good records when he was there.
And wasn't the Marrone deal that he basically was able to opt out due to some weird clauses in his contract because they had an ownership change, then he thought he was going to get some better job. I thought that was good karma there, that once he opted out and all the Bills fans were mad at him and the players, and then he didn't get a head coaching job, which is how it should be in that situation, because he kind of just left them, used some clause in his contract, and he wasn't rewarded for it.
And now he's facing the Buffalo Bills. How weird is that?
So that's why you're rooting for the Bills even more.
Hey, get the Bulldog back on. We got a bunch of questions that we forgot to ask. quick break here. It is the Midday Grind. Martin Kilquin, Charlie Marlowe taking you up to the Master Smith Show at the top there. I believe they're going to be at Maggie O'Brien's downtown today. Union Station is next to them. Maggie O'Brien's counting you down to Blues hockey tonight with Las Vegas in town. And if you missed it, Carter Hutton will get the start again in net. Not a shock there at all. A couple of impressive games in a row, a couple of wins for the Blues, and now they take on the top team in the West. the Golden Knights of Las Vegas. Rankin Jordan has the big gala coming up January 13th. Today is the 4th. What day is today? Thursday?
Sounds right, 4th.
January 4th. So we're 9 days away. That event every year at the gala, one of the top events, fundraising, but also storytelling. The amazing stories of what's taking place, helping those kids get back home. Years ago, there was a young man hit by a drive-by. It was one of those random drive-bys, hit by a bullet, and gets paralyzed. And at the time, the doctor said, you'll never be able to walk again. Goes to Rankin Jordan. He's there. He was there for a long time. But when he left, he was able to walk out on his own power. It's amazing what they're able to do. It all started in 1941. Mary Rankin Jordan had this vision to help the kids, and they continue doing that to this day. RankinJordan.org. More information if you've got some time and you'd like to volunteer, or if you want to join us at the gala, go online to RankinJordan.org.